You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden, exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No. Because I'm going to get him.
And welcome to this episode of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We're coming to you live from our radio and television studios located right here in beautiful northwest Pennsylvania. Folks, we broadcast live each and every weeknight, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Global Star Radio Network. That's our flagship station. Check out their broadcast schedule. I mean, you talk about a great flagship station to have, Global Star Radio Network. That's it. We are also simulcast on Blog Talk Radio. That's BTR. And you can watch us live and by archive on our official YouTube channel. Folks, just go to HagmanandHagman.com. And we also have, of course, our news site, HagmanReport.com. And some of my articles are featured on CanadaFreePress.com as well. I'm Doug Hagman at the helm with fellow investigator and my son, Joe Hagman, something I like to call America's premier father-son investigative reporting team. Happy 4th of July day after. Hope everyone had a great 4th of July. We had a special program yesterday. We did. Joe, we did. We had a kind of an interesting program the way it worked out, you know.
It went really, really well, and it was a nice compilation of some very good insight from a number of people.
You know, I learned
along
a lot,
with some of our take on the 4th of July being outside. Getting to shoot from outside and having the barbecue while we're doing it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was. It was different. That was for sure. Anyway,
got a lot to get into tonight.
Yeah. Of course, the big news for today is the lack of prosecution or lack of recommendation by FBI Director James Comey on the investigation of Hillary Clinton's use of her personal email. Now, that's something that, folks, you've got to understand, this is something incredibly important, but it's scripted. Now, a couple of things before we get into this news. Portions of this broadcast brought to you by Health Masters, healthmasters.com. That's healthmasters.com. Folks, go to healthmasters.com. Check out their array of nutritional supplements. That's healthmasters.com. Let's talk about the schedule this week a little bit, Joe, because, folks, in case you don't know what's going on this week, tomorrow morning Joe is going to go in for some back surgery, minor, relative compared, you know, what people say, minor surgery, right? Yeah, okay. Not exactly minor. So he's going to have some surgery done tomorrow. He's going to be off pretty much the rest of the week into next weekend. He will be, if things go right, he'll be here on Friday when Coach Dave Dobemeyer appears in studio. All right. Now, so that's tomorrow. So he goes in, his appointment is at 8:30 in the morning, 8:45. So please, prayers.
7 a.m. go in there, 8:30, they say, for the surgery. And hopefully I'm out of there, you know, 1, 2 o'clock.
Right.
But,
You know, so yeah, so prayers, please, for Joe. And again, he's going to be off Wednesday, Thursday, and then he may, depending on, he should be mobile Friday. He'll be in here in studio. Coach Dave Dodmeyer is going to be in studio guest here Friday, so that's something you're not going to want to miss. Tell your friends and family, and remember we had Jack Cashel in last month in studio. We're going to be doing more and more of that.
And also, while I'm gone tomorrow and Thursday, Josh Tolley will be guest hosting with my dad 8 to 10 both Wednesday and Thursday. So that's going to be those are going to be really good shows.
Yeah, he's going to be
the host of the Josh Tolley show.
Right. He's going to be with me 8 to 10, as you said, Wednesday night and Thursday night, and then Friday, of course, Dave Dodmeyer in here in studio. And here's the other issue too, folks. I don't know how long I'm going to be able to make it tonight. If you can hear, my voice is going. I did the Common Sense Show Sunday night, and I don't know, man. Right, it was during that show I started to get my voice started feeling bad. My wife's been sick for about a week. I mean, you know, she's bad and sick. And then I thought I'd skated through that. Now I've got something. I don't know what it is, but it's affecting my throat, my head, my face. You know, the old joke, does your face hurt? Now it's killing me. Yeah. Anyway, so I'm going to try to go as long as I can tonight, and so forgive me if I just sneak out of here early. And that's kind of the way I look. I look like I can see myself in the monitor there. I look pretty rough around the edges. My apologies.
But, I think we both do today. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. But so please, prayers for Joe tomorrow. And anyway, but folks, history was made today. And if you don't mind, let me take a little bit until I can't do this anymore. All right. Let me. Do you mind? Because we didn't talk before the show.
You can go ahead.
All right. Yeah, I'm not sure if it's a summer cold. I think it's I think somebody. I don't know what it is, but man, I went down to the pharmacy. I said, I need something right now to give me something that will just take everything out of my head, congestion wise. And do you have any? There you go. Eric just said, do you have any anti chemtrail medicine? Well, there you go. You know, we were out doing the program. We probably got zapped on the 4th. Anyway, so 2,314 words, folks. James Comey. James B. Comey. 2,314 words of drivel. Now, I watched this live, and this is exactly what we spoke about. This should come as a surprise to no one. However, please, do not think, and Joe and I, right before the program started, Joe said that Rush Limbaugh kind of indicated that this was, it wasn't a bad thing, kind of like a Justice Roberts thing during the Obamacare fiasco, right?
Yeah, and I think he beat around the bush more so than a few other people wrote about. And what they said was, Comey is brilliant.
Yeah.
He put the heat on Loretta Lynch and exposed how corrupt Clinton was for laying out, as some articles, FBI director reveals, every Hillary Clinton claim about classified emails was a lie. And he did do that. But then they go on to basically change the rules, change the laws, in order not to indict Clinton. Talking about gross negligence and lack of intent Well, right. You don't need intent to commit a crime.
No, you don't. No.
And that's what they try to say is the reason, you know, well, they one of the reasons why they're not pursuing criminal charges or recommending the dropping of this investigation, because she didn't intend to hurt anybody. She didn't intend to send classified information, highly classified sensitive information over her private email server.
Right. Well,
which if you look
you're
at
right,
the
Joe.
Dozens of classified information cases that have just been decided on this year, every single one of them, intent or not, deals with the prosecution of the person who has been accused of this. It doesn't matter their standing, their security clearance. Even the head of the CIA, Petraeus, didn't do a fifth of what Hillary Clinton has done in the FBI scandal or the email scandal alone.
Right.
Separate from Benghazi, separate from all these other scandals. He gets at least some sentencing from a judge, put on probation. And I don't remember if he was put on house arrest at first or not, but I mean, that was very light as far as sharing classified information.
Who are you talking about?
Petraeus.
No, Petraeus got $7,500 fine plus. I mean, he lost a lot more than Hillary Clinton did.
Right.
I'm going to thank Gary P. He writes this. Dear Doug and Joe, it seems to me that the relationship between James Comey and Hillary Clinton is a bit like the relationship between Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky. Oh, that mental picture now.
Well, see, last week we saw Bill Clinton and Loretta Lynch meet, which was no coincidence. And
right.
The way that they told the press corps not to take any pictures or videos, and the cell phones were allowed in the meeting. They said they talked about grandkids and some other nonsense.
Tyranny on the Tarmac, in plain sight. It's an article I wrote, too, on HagmanReport.com. You can comment on that at CanadaFreePress.com.
From that last week to Hillary Clinton's meeting this weekend interrogated for 3.5 hours.
Let me tell you something. Okay, I've been at depositions that lasted, the longest deposition in one sitting was, I think, 11 and a half, 12 hours. It was like an incredibly long. And, of course, there were a couple of breaks in between, you know, but lunch break and then came back. And then we had one deposition on a case that was, of all things, it was over a car accident. This is in the beginning. Joe, is 2 days. I mean, it lasted 6 hours the first day, and I think an hour the next day. 3.5 hours, you can barely get out the preliminaries. Now, there was a crowded room there as well during that deposition. But tonight, while I can do this, Joe, get ready, because you might have to take over for me, because here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell, I mean, folks, grab a pen and piece of paper, or get ready to hit the replay button on this program tonight, because I'm going to tell you some things, all right? Let me give you the bigger picture here. The bigger picture of what's taking place, who Hillary Clinton is, why this happened. Now, I listened to so many talking heads today, you know, and they're not wrong. Alex Jones, not wrong to be, like, you know, really upset. I don't have the energy right now to be upset, okay? Fox News, the people there, MSNBC, Tom Hartman on the Democracy Now! Channel, others as well. And I understand, okay. But there, no one's really, except for Alex Jones, InfoWars, no one's seen the bigger picture here. And for some of the new in the independent media, no one's seen the bigger picture here. First of all, Hillary Diane Rodham, the witch Clinton. Do you mind if I start this out and then you can pick up? You all right?
Go for it.
We need to duct tape you to the chair? Eric, watch him, man, because, you know, he's scheduled for surgery tomorrow.
Well, no, I do have a surgery tomorrow. Where I'm having surgery, I got a massive infection going right now. Can't take any aspirin or
You can't.
Advil. I'm not supposed to.
That would be a real wreck, you know, bleeding-wise.
Right. So walking around with the pain and the sweating and stuff. I feel like I have a mild flu, but
yeah.
So we're both like.
So yeah, we're playing her.
We're like pudding, just done. I mean, blobs in a chair. That's how I feel today. We might have to.
Yeah, coming back at the top of the hour, it might be Eric that's sitting there going,
just be sitting here sleeping.
What are we doing? But no. And it's, you know, sometimes you need to look.
And I'm not complaining.
And well, you got a right to complain. I mean, you got a sore. He's having hemorrhoid surgery. No, he's not. I'm just kidding. That please don't. I'm kidding. Okay, don't send me emails.
Would I rather? I mean, I don't know what's worse. So.
I don't know. Yeah, it's lower back surgery, but anyway. Okay. So what we need to do is we need to look at the larger picture here. Now, I got into some of the things about Hillary, Diane Rodham Clinton, and I want to thank Bob and Maggie. Thank you so much for your kind email Sunday night with Dave Hodges on Sunday night. But some of the things that people have never heard of before, and if you have, okay, great. And if you haven't, tell others, because it's really important. Well, first of all, Hillary, let's get some background. If we were going to do this, if we were going to approach this as an investigation, well, who is Hillary Rodham Clinton? And let's look at a lot of things, including her politics. Her politics will play a role in this, and I'll tell you why later. Okay, obviously, aside from the obvious, because it speaks to the world view here. Now, I'm just going to fire away. If you want to jump in, just throw something at me. But you can, you know, put your head on the desk if you'd like, and we'll be all right. And that way I'll cover for you tomorrow, all right? But I'm going to have help, too. I'll have Josh Tully. All right. So here we have Hillary Clinton, born in Chicago in 1947. All right. So we're looking at this from an investigative standpoint. She grew up in Park Ridge, a suburb of Illinois, as a very privileged individual, by the way. Don't let her tell you otherwise. Well, as she was growing up, we have to understand one thing. In her formative years, that being her college years and such, she was deeply influenced by, in 1966, when she was, 19, she was very much influenced by a writing which appeared in a magazine titled Motive, M-O-T-I-V-E, which is an interesting parallel, interesting, or ironic, considering lack of motive. The title was Change or Containment. And Motive magazine was it was for college-age Methodists back then. It was authored by a Marxist and a Maoist, theoretical philosopher named Carl Oglesby. He was a leader, if that name rings a bell, he was a leader for SDS, Students for a Democratic Society. And that particular article had some definite cultural impact on Clinton, on Hillary. Now, why am I going back so far? Again, we have to look at a few things in the run-up to what we're seeing today to understand why we're seeing today. This is building a profile, I guess, for lack of a better term. And once you understand the profile, folks, you'll understand from there what happens next. Joe just broke our television set. Nice. All right. So, anyway, the article that appeared in Motive magazine. It was written in defense of Ho Chi Minh, of Fidel Castro, of the Marxist and Maoist tactics for violence, for violent overthrow. The thesis, lady, our studio dog is in studio, and Joe just crawled on all fours in front of the camera, and the lady was looking at him like, hey, you know, I do that. Anyway. Yeah, he's just grabbing his antibiotics. All right. So, think about that. It was that particular thesis that really kind of set the stage for what she decided to do in the years that followed. Now, Hillary said that that motive article, that particular article, had played a very key role in her change from being a Goldwater Republican in 1964 to a Marxist in 1968. Now, to go from a Goldwater Republican in 64 to a Marxist in 4 years is a pretty radical change. Now, when Clinton was Bubba's first lady, when she was an occupant in the White House, she had granted an interview with Newsweek magazine, and she said, you know, I still think about that Oglesby piece, and I still like it. That tells you that she's got Maoist and Marxist tendencies for violence as tactics. Now, again, this is important for you to understand the motives, means, and opportunities of this woman that we see today. We're gonna build a criminal case. Everyone's talking about Comey. Well, you know what? Out of the 2,314 words that he did say, I'm going to just break from what I was talking about and just give you the money quote right now.
Yeah, because many of his conclusions contradicted Clinton's often repeated assertions. Right. And many of his comments also pointed out specific lies that she told along this process.
Exactly.
Of investigation.
And I'm going to be, regardless, I'm going to be putting something up on the on our website and probably Canada Free Press on as well on this. But the fourth paragraph from the end, James Comey said this, FBI director said this, to be clear, this is not to suggest... This is after he decides they're not going to make a recommendation to file charges. To be clear, this is not to suggest that in similar circumstances, a person who engaged in this activity would face no consequences. To the contrary, those individuals are often subject to security or administrative sanctions. But that is not what we are deciding now. Okay? It's right here. In case you don't believe me, it's the fourth paragraph from the bottom on the official James Comey FBI transcript. It's highlighted, and that's what he said. Now, many people are going to look at that and say, oh, wait a minute. Like, for example, Rush Limbaugh. Oh, there's hope. There's hope. Oh, maybe Comey's, you know, maybe there is hope there, right?
Don't be depressed about this.
Yeah, don't be depressed. Oh, it's Comey's really smart. No.
Yeah.
No, he's compromised is what he is.
And like I said, I'm not sure that Limbaugh went that far, but there I've seen some articles that have went that far.
That make the interpretation.
That say that, oh, what he did was brilliant. He put, at the very least, he exposed the levels and reach of the Clinton lies and corruptions and the breaking of the law. And he did lay out some of the examples, only stating that, you know, there was no intent behind them. But from what I understand, 6 federal laws were rewritten by the FBI in order to issue the verdict they did.
Actually, a combination of laws or federal regulations and handling of materials.
Okay. Yeah, the National Review writes this, FBI rewrites federal law to let Hillary off the hook. And we can. Right. I'll get into this later.
Yeah, I'm going to give you that.
This is important to me.
Yeah, and I think that's a good... more prescient aspect of this, but I'm looking at Hillary the person, because what I'm about to tell you, now I'm not sure how many people really know some of this. But in August of 1968, when the Chicago 7, when they incited that massive violence at the Democratic National Convention, there were massive countercultural protests and violent riots in Chicago. Where was Hillary? Did you know that she was there? Did you know she was there? No. That's not to say that she, you know, actually took part in those protests and violence, but she was there. Now, I don't believe in coincidences. I think she was there, and I think she had a hand in, and it's my personal opinion that she had a hand in the orchestrating the violence. Now, if you go back to Hillary, the woman, when she went to Wellesley, her senior thesis on the... she wrote a thesis. And what was her thesis about? Folks, you remember? It was publicized. Let me remind you. It was about Saul Alinsky. The theories of radical change, the cultural change by Saul Alinsky. Now, Alinsky, of course, we all know who Saul Alinsky is. If you don't, please take some time to research who Saul Alinsky is. By the way, he is regarded by many as the proponent of a very dangerous socio-political philosophy. He's been the guy is, well, he's a Marxist, essentially. But Hillary's love and affinity toward Alinsky's method and ideals led her to believe that things like the Immigration Act of 1965 and the anti-poverty, the War on Poverty by Lyndon Baines Johnson, they didn't go far enough. Then we drag in Cloward and Piven at that point, or right after that, and you can see this Marxist philosophy developing. Now, why is this important? Because we're establishing some behavioral analysis, and we're getting into the woman. And you're going to see how this course of conduct threads through Benghazi, the email scandal, and all of this. She graduated Wellesley College in 69, and she was offered a job. Her and Alinsky were writing back and forth, communicating back and forth. She did her thesis on Alinsky. Well, she left Wellesley in 69, and she was offered a job with Alinsky's IAF, which is the Industrial Areas Foundation in Chicago. Instead, though, she opted to go to Yale Law School. Now, she would remain a very, very close... she had allegiance to Alinsky, his tactics. She continued to correspond with him. They had a very friendly relationship. And Hillary wrote a letter, and you can find this online, or references to this online, in July of 19... In fact, July 8th of 1971, which is, 45 years ago now, she wrote a letter to Alinsky that began, "Dear Saul, when is that new book, meaning Rules for Radicals, coming out? Or has it come out and I somehow missed fulfillment of Revelation? I have just had my 1,000th conversation about Reveille, I'm sorry, and need some new material to throw at people. You are being rediscovered again, as if the new left-type politicos are finally beginning to think seriously about the hard work and mechanics of organizing." Now, okay, so now we can see where she is adhering to the tactics of a community organizer who has Marxist leanings. Now, if you go to HillaryClinton.com, one of the huge talking points of Hillary Clinton right now is her treatment of women and of children. She's an advocate of women and children. In fact, all of the television shows, all of her ad spots, all of her print matter, all of the, every place you go, Hillary's the champion for women. Let me tell you something about that. It was in 1975, after Yale, she went to Yale, and folks, you can see a lot of this online, but after Yale, she decided to, or she began working as a defense attorney for a law firm that was essentially full of communists. I mean, I don't know how else to say this, all right? In 1975, it was on May 10th, 1975, when a young girl, a 12-year-old girl, was raped, brutally, savagely raped by a family friend of this young girl. His name, Thomas Alfred Taylor. I say his name without fear. Number one, he's dead. Number two, he admitted to raping and savagely beating this 12-year-old girl. In fact, she spent 5 days in a coma, 10 months in physical rehabilitation, and 10 years in therapy. At the time of the attack, they told this 12-year-old girl, the parents, that chances are she'd never be able to bear children, and she would have lasting physical damage. Well, it was interesting because Hillary Clinton was asked to defend this man. As a favor, Thomas Alfred Taylor wanted a female attorney to defend him. She was given a choice. You want to defend him or not? She said, absolutely. Now, folks, I understand. As a defense attorney, you've got to defend your client as best as possible. I understand that. But what happened is almost, in my view, unforgivable, if not unethical. Again, we're talking about a 12-year-old girl beaten with an inch of her life in a coma for 5 days. Physical therapy for 10 months. Therapy for 10 years. Hillary knew that Taylor was guilty of this crime. And she made it clear a number of years later when she discussed the case. And there was a 1980s interview with a guy by the name of Roy Reed from Arkansas. Okay, you can find this interview. It's actually an audio interview. Now, I want to at this point break again from script and divert your attention to, remember the interview on camera that Hillary Clinton did with CBS or ABC News, one of the news stations, where she laughed at Gaddafi's death and said, "We came, we saw, he died," meaning Gaddafi. All right. The interview that was done with Roy Reed about this particular case, if you listen to the tapes from that, that's the same type of attitude. Because here's what she did. She decided to represent Taylor, Thomas Alfred Taylor. She had him take a polygraph test, which he passed. And she laughed, says that forever destroyed my faith in polygraphs because there were two eyewitnesses in addition to ample forensic evidence and the guy's own admission. Now, aside from the guy's guilt, Hillary obtained a plea bargain for this guy by taking advantage of an error by the prosecution. What happened was this. The prosecutors had confiscated Taylor's clothes, including his underwear. And on his underwear, there was a lot of blood. The prosecutors had cut a swatch out for testing, came back, test matched, and the lab had discarded the swatch that was tested. That didn't mean that there were other areas that could be tested. Well, Clinton said, we're going to ask that this case be tossed out on a technicality. Again, knowing full well of this guy's guilt. And as a matter of fact, we are going to buy our way out of this if necessary. We are going to consult with a New York-based forensic scientist who had a reputation. I'm not going to name this individual. I do know this person. This scientist helped defendants such as Taylor by providing pay-to-play testimony. Okay? Imagine that. A forensic scientist. What do you want me to say? Okay. My fee is $10,000. So she ultimately, she got this guy off for time served, which would happen to be 2 months in the county prison. And and during the 1980s, she laughed about this. In the 1980s interview, she laughed as she recounted to Roy Reed that she told the prosecutor yeah, we got a guy that's about ready to come to New York and prevent this miscarriage of justice. Okay, now you've got to understand the context in which that was said. When Reed asked Clinton about the outcome of the case, she replied, well, he plea bargained. We got him off time served in the county jail. He'd been in the county jail about 2 months, and she laughed. This over a 12-year-old girl, beaten within an inch of her life, raped, unable to bear children. Those tapes, you can find those tapes online. I believe you can find them on a couple of conservative websites, but to hear the audio, you can hear the audio recording of Clinton's interview with Roy Reed. Just go ahead and search Roy, R-E-E-D, and Hillary Clinton, and you can hear that disgusting interview. You might have to fast forward to that particular section. Now, subsequent to the trial, you can also find the court files online, too. Here's the character of Hillary Diane Rodham, the witch Clinton. It was not just merely enough to have the case tossed down on the prosecutorial misconduct, or technicality, basically. She attacked the young victim's character by calling into question her motives and her honesty. 12 years old, 6th grade, saying that she fantasized about having sex with older men. Now, here we are, 2016, and people might be thinking, well, this is all just fine, well, and good. What does this mean? Who cares about this? It's 40 some years ago. That victim in the 1975 sexual abuse case, that was her first criminal defense case as a 27-year-old lawyer. And she only spoke about this, I think, once. And that was to Roy Reed. Check out the Washington Free Beacon for more files, but you can see you can see what Hillary Clinton is made of. There was a long and very emotional interview with the Daily Beast where the victim, now much older, of course, in her 50s, accused Clinton of intentionally lying about her in court documents, going the extraordinary lengths to discredit evidence of the rape, and later acknowledging and laughing about her attacker's guilt on the recordings. So to anybody out there who is a Democrat, or really meaning progressive, Marxist, whatever, and if your sister-in-law comes up to you and says, yeah, well, she's pro-woman, pro-child, tell them about the case. Hillary Diane Rodham Clinton's first case in 1975. With the man named Thomas Alfred Taylor. Ask them to read up about it. There is your woman supporter. There is your child supporter. Oh, but she went on and became part of the children's network and such. No, it was all for money. Very quickly. In October of 75, Hillary married Bill Clinton. Of course, she met him at Yale. You know the story on that. She had some affiliation with Carter and the Legal Services. The Legal Services Corporation of Jimmy Carter. Very interesting work, which led her into the employ as an attorney with the Rose Law Firm, where she continued to work until 1992. Now, she had no job offers in Arkansas and only got hired by the University of Arkansas Law School at Fayetteville because Bill was already teaching there prior to her employ at the Rose Law Firm. And if you really want to know something else that's pretty sad about this potential presumptive nominee and what makes her tick, she failed the Washington, D.C. bar examination. A total of 817 people took the D.C. bar exam in the summer of 73. She was one of the 266 who failed. She did pass a bar exam in Arkansas. Okay, just to be clear on that. She had some work with Jimmy Carter. But as Bill Clinton served as governor of Arkansas from 78 to 80 and again from 82 to 92, Hillary Diane the Witch spent a total of 12 years as Arkansas's first lady. Now, of course, that was split up. During that time, she continued her legal practice at the Rose Law Firm. In 78, she became a board member of the Children's Defense Fund. That's where you're going to see people saying, well, she's for kids. And from 86 to 92, she served as the chair for the Children's Defense Fund. All right, now, what's really important, again, is the handling of her first case, her relationship with Alinsky. But wouldn't she be after she became First Lady of the United States? Did you know? And if you did, forgive me, but I'm going to remind you that she made her thesis off limits. Now, at first, it was available. Remember I mentioned her senior thesis about Saul Alinsky? At first it was available, then she said, I don't want it made available. Well, when Bill Clinton became U.S. President in 93, the Clintons asked Wellesley College to shield Hillary's senior thesis from public access. They complied. In fact, they said this. I found the wording extremely interesting. The president of the college approved a policy that would make the senior thesis of every alumni available in the college archives for anyone to read except for those written by either a president or first lady of the United States. How about them apples, huh? Well, right around the same time, Clinton... And this is an important piece or important phrase for you to really kind of latch on to. The politics of meaning. Folks, remember this phrase. You're going to be hearing more about this phrase. The politics of meaning. It's really this nebulous, smoky concept that was coined by a guy by the name of Michael Lerner. And what this did, what this phrase is it blends radical politics with New Age human potentialism. Think an amalgamation of Joel Osteen and Oprah Winfrey and Tony Robbins. I think maybe that might be not much of an understatement. To this day, however, she refuses to talk about her relationship with Michael Lerner. Now, Travelgate scandal, of course, you know about that. 93, seven people, axe, boot, you're out of there. She was a big part of that. And of course, many people blame that and other things for the death of Vince Foster. We're going to do a special program on Vince Foster. I believe certainly the totality of preponderance of evidence shows that Vince Foster was murdered. He did not commit suicide, but was murdered. This is my view, based on my research. And I believe that there are those out there who are attempting to sell the suicide theory to cover up for the greater crimes of Hillary and Bill and those people around him. But when you look at Hillary and the radical clerics, even back in the 90s, the Clintons had this really strange relationship with a lot of religious individuals, including Muslim individuals, and a blend of Marxist, Maoist, socialist adherents that also had religious positions. For example, in her 2004 memoir, Living History, Hillary praised Reverend William Sloan Coffin Jr. He served as Yale's chaplain for his articulate moral critique of American involvement in Vietnam. But when you look deeper, it's not about Vietnam. It is about aiding and abetting an enemy of the United States. Okay? The moving forward, and again, if you think, and I don't want to keep apologizing, and I'm not going to do this anymore, if you think that this is a waste of time, to build a profile, an accurate profile of Hillary Clinton, you need to understand why she's doing the things she's doing and how she's getting away with it. Because it was during this time period, from her time from 19 years of age, 18 years of age, right through her Arkansas days, her college days, into her days in Arkansas, the governor's mansion, and as first lady, and then in the circles of the Washington politics. It is for this reason that James Comey had to come out in 2,314 words, I believe, right, and say, "Yeah, we're not gonna recommend any charges because it's different for Hillary Clinton." And this will also give you insight into what Hillary Clinton is going to be doing as the occupant of the Oval Office. Now, I want to skip ahead very quickly here. I've got 72 pages worth of information right here, and I only went through, I think about 9. I just want to skip a couple of things here and tell you this. Bill and Hillary Rodham Clinton at the epicenter of their extremely corrupt criminal cabal of globalists is the Clinton Foundation. The Clinton Foundation is worth $250 million. It's $250 million today. That's how much it's worth. Everything leading up to, through, and including all of the offshoots of this foundation touches every aspect of globalist life across the planet. It touches law enforcement, it touches politics, it touches science, it touches technology, it touches everything. The green, the environment. Through this foundation and the power, the money is the control, is where they derive their control. You can look up the economic policies, of course, of Hillary Clinton. You can look up the all of the other stuff that you can research on your own, her voting record. But what I found interesting, too, and I'm going to kind of close out with this, is Guccifer 2.0 hacked the email servers of Sidney Blumenthal and others. Comey said as much. Russia and Iran and China have every single one of her emails. Aside from the obvious, there's evidence that that Hillary Clinton, along with her husband, as Secretary of State, we're arranging, and you can see this, and we're up against the top of the hour, so I'm not going to really get too far into this. Some of the donors, foreign donors here, sold. If presented to a courtroom, the donors to this particular foundation, or one of its offshoots through Canadian companies, through outside companies, you can see where favors, political and technological favors, acting as the bagman or go-between between technological giants and between foreign companies or foreign countries like China, like the United Arab Emirates, like Qatar, Kuwait. You can see where she and Hillary and Bill had sold technology, or certainly it would appear to me that they sold technology, American technology, to these countries, using the foundation as the laundering mechanism to do so. And of course there's graft. There's political favoritism. Newly released state documents back in June of this year. Newly released State Department emails revealed how a major Clinton Foundation donor was placed on a sensitive government intelligence advisory board, even though he had no obvious experience in that field. That is reported by ABC News. Now, when ABC News reports on a matter of this import, then you know that there is some there. And, of course, they're talking about a prolific fundraiser for the Democratic candidates and contributor to the Clinton Foundation, a guy by the name of Rajiv Fernando. His only known qualification for a seat on the International Security Advisory Board, which is the ISAB, was his technological know-how, which was minimal at best. In fact, many people, we're talking about tactical nuclear weapons here. The scientists and those people in control said, we don't even know who this guy is. So, Fernando's lack of any known background in nuclear security caught the attention of numerous board members of the ISAB. And when the ABC, when ABC News contacted the Department of State in August of 2011, asking for a copy of this guy's resume, the email showed that confusion ensued among the career government officials who worked at the advisory panel. They couldn't find the email. They couldn't find his resume. But yet they could, documented, of course, was the huge sum of money for that position. The bottom line with this, and I skipped over so much more that needs to be said, because what you have is a woman who's demanding an end to mass incarceration of criminals. She's calling for criminal justice reforms that will forever change the criminal justice community. She's calling for, basically, for the... she's calling for... no charges to be laid against anyone who sides with the Democrats or the progressives or the Marxists in the larger cases such as Black Lives Matter, the new Black Panther Party, and other such groups. She talks about the immigration status of her grandparents, nothing but lies. She talks about opening the floodgates that, again, Lyndon Johnson did not go far enough. And when you understand how far Lyndon Johnson went, you understand how scary that statement is. She calls for, again, as I mentioned, letting blacks and other criminals out of prison. She calls for opening the doors to any and all Muslims without regard to any type of security check. She's calling, and she will call for not just the ban but the confiscation of all weapons in the United States. And if you look at some of the, and I'm going to close with this, if you look at some of the captured Guccifer 2.0 emails, I support the confiscation of guns, but you will find at the tail end of some of the conversations a prima facie case to say, hey, it looks like she's talking about the confiscation of all weapons of Americans here in the United States. And if that doesn't make you think, then I don't know what will. But use that in the context of this. You can see she's going to be the next president of the United States based just solely on the fact that the system was rigged.
Folks, we'll be right back with more on the Hillary Clinton email scandal, the FBI's recommendations, and more. Stay with us for hour number two right after this.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.